If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I want to read from God's Word from Mark chapter 6, please. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, and we'll commence at verse 35. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." He answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." And they said unto him, "Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat?" But he said unto them, "How many loaves have ye? Go and see." And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make them all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they all did eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments of all of the fishes. And they that did eat were of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone in the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the 4th watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and said unto them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wonder, for they considered not the miracles of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. And when they had passed over and came into the land of the Gennesaret, and drew nigh to the shore, and when they were come up out of the ship, straightway they knew him. I have read to you this morning the story of how Jesus fed the 5,000 people. It is recorded in the 4 Gospels and is one of the greatest miracles that Jesus ever performed. But this morning I don't want to take a look at the miracles. I want to take a look this morning of what follows after that, that Jesus had constrained his disciples to get into a boat and to go to the other side. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was wanting to teach his disciples something that every one of us need to learn in our Christian experience. After they had departed, we read in the Word of God that Jesus went up into a mountain to pray. And Jesus, before he went up into the mountain, he urged the public to go away. He urged them to go and seek shelter for tonight. There would always be another day that they could come and see him. They could come the next day and visit him wherever he would be. His presence there and the way that he spoke to the people, and I'm sure the people themselves would have been very tired, and they recognized his wisdom and they took his advice and they left him. And Jesus was there on the beach alone himself. I have no doubt that Jesus himself was tired. He had had a long day, a day that was covered by many different things of people who were with him and the things that they wanted him to do. But although the Lord Jesus Christ had a busy day, and I'm sure he was tired, he always found time to pray. And slowly as he climbed the hillside in the silence of the night, he wanted to talk with his Father in heaven. And that is something that I have learned in my life, that God is always waiting and listening to all of our prayers. And I believe that Jesus wanted to talk over with his Father for the days that lie ahead because of the situation and the circumstances that he found himself in. And he had to walk very carefully each day. He had to think each day of the words that he was saying. I often remember sometimes where I used to live in the city, there used to be what they called yard walls. There's no yard walls now. They're all fences and all the rest of it. But the lady next door to us was always afraid of somebody breaking into her house. So she broke up glass and she stuck it on the glass, the top of the wall, so that nobody would climb over the wall. Or if they tried, they would be cut. And I remember one day watching a cat walking across this wall, and it amazed me how that it was able to put one foot in front of the other so carefully and reach the other side without being cut. Probably impossible for a human to do that. But when I thought of that the other day, I thought of this must have been the way the Lord Jesus Christ had to walk, very carefully, because there were people there every day trying to catch the Lord Jesus Christ out. The Lord was literally surrounded by very dangerous people and circumstances. The Pharisees, those people who sought every day they met him to find fault in him. The chief priests, they were plotting to kill him. And the scribes were seeking evidence to refute the veracity of his message. Then there were other people there, the zealots. And they were people who wanted to make Jesus their king, because when they seen this great miracle that he'd done, they realized that he could become their leader. He could become the one who would set them free from the Roman Empire. And as the Lord Jesus Christ walked each day, he had all these things in mind. And of course, Satan was there, the great commander-in-chief of all the forces arrayed against him. One false step, one unwise action, one untimely word could have caused a national problem. He needed to be alone with God to consider every detail in communion with his Father. With such a load on his mind, sleep would have been the last thing that he would have thought about. So he climbed that hill, and doubtless the higher he got, the lighter his burdens became. I believe that that is something that each of us could learn today, that the more time that we spend with God in prayer, the less our problems would be, or at least we would be able to handle them more better. So his disciples set off, and as they had done many times before, they started to sail across that Sea of Galilee, but they knew nothing of what lay before them. As they set out on the boat, it was a rough passage that they had to face. There is no mention in the Bible of what time they left and what time they arrived. But we know that the Jewish Sabbath would start at 6 p.m. Through to 6 a.m. the next morning. And in those days, there was what is known as four watches of the night. From 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock, from 9 to midnight, from midnight to 3 a.m., and then from 3 a.m. to 6. And the scripture tells me that it was about the fourth watch of the night. That would be roughly around about maybe 4 o'clock in the morning. These disciples were still rowing their boat. And Jesus was in the mountain praying. And the disciples, as it says in the scripture, were in the midst of the sea. They had been rowing for roughly 9 hours. and they had only got halfway across. It was a rough ride they were having. And as Jesus looked out, he could see their problem. He could see what the disciples were facing. He saw his friends toiling in that rough, rugged sea. And it was obvious that the boatmen were experiencing difficulties in keeping their little craft under control. They were pulling hard on their oars, but unfortunately, they were not making much headway. The waves were getting higher. The wind was showing no sign of abating. The disciples were fighting against tiredness and fear. But as Jesus looked out and saw them, I'm convinced that instantly his prayer came to an end. Soon he was walking on the water towards his disciples that were in that boat. They were fighting for their lives. But there was Jesus walking towards them. And scripture says that they thought it was a ghost. And for many people in the world today, and maybe for many people in this assembly this morning, there's some sort of a ghost in your life that haunts you. I don't know what it is. But for these disciples, they thought that Jesus was a ghost or a spirit coming towards them. And there's something that I want you to notice in this verse number 48 of this passage of scripture. Jesus left to come down to help his disciples, but this is what it says at the end of verse 48. And would have passed them by. Why would he have come down to help his disciples and then would have passed them by? That was what we would say stupid. But I believe there was a reason for that. There's another passage of scripture that we read. Do you remember when the two were making their way in Luke chapter 24 on the road to Emmaus? And they were talking between themselves and they were saying about how disappointed they were that the Messiah had been crucified. The one who had come to release them. And they had gone to the tomb that morning and his body wasn't there. And they were discussing this as they walked along the road. And it says that Jesus drew near and started to talk to them. And it says that when they came to their house, it says this, and Jesus would have walked on. But they invited him into their home. And I'm convinced that the reason why this is in this passage that he would have passed by because Jesus was wanting to be invited into the boat. There's a passage of scripture that we often use in the gospel, and it's in Revelations 3:20. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him." Here Jesus is looking to be invited into the church at Laodicea, the church of the last days. And I believe it's the same in each of our lives. With all of the problems that we meet, we try to sort them out by ourselves. But I'm convinced that Jesus was trying to teach his disciples that you need to invite me. You need to ask me. And I have no doubt that Jesus loves to be invited into that boat, into that home, and into that church. And maybe today he's saying to someone in this meeting, I want to be invited into your life. I want to be invited into your home. I want to come into the church at Lisburn. But so often, he's left outside. So often, we try things on our own back. And Jesus is the last one. In verse 49 and 50, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed that they had seen a ghost and they cried out for fear. This is a strange thing for someone to be walking on the water when the waves were so high, when the wind was boisterous, and yet this ghost or whatever it was walking so serene across the raging tide. This was something beyond the understanding of the disciples. They had struggled all night, and they were really afraid. And all Jesus wanted to do was to prove to them that he was in control of everything. Remember back in the book of Genesis, we read that when God made man, he gave him control over the animals, the birds. But there were two things that God didn't give him control over, and that was the wind and the sea. He certainly gave him control of the birds of the air. He gave him control of the fish of the sea, but of the two elements, he didn't give him control. But when we turn to Mark chapter 4, we learn this. You remember when Jesus was in the back of the boat and sleeping, and his disciples were afraid because they thought the boat was going to sink? And they wakened him and they said, "Master, curse thou not that we perish." And Jesus got up and he said, "Peace, be still." What did his disciples say? What manner of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Friend, this morning, I don't know what it's like for you in your life, but I know this. The fear has a problem in everybody's life. From our new age, we fear things that happen. From children at school, I have a young grandson, and quite often I take him to school, and my wife would pick him up in the mornings. And sometimes when he's in an inquisitive mood, he would say, "Grandad, if anything happened to you and Nanny, what would I do?" See, there's that little fear in his mind of what lies before him. Isn't it the same for many of our young people today? In their school, and will they do well in their school under the pressures that they have to be under today to get good grades to be able to move on? And they fear in case they will let people down. Even if they get to the stage where they go to university, they have a problem, they have a fear. Will I have a job to go to? How will we pay our mortgage? There are many things in life that we have to face every day, and things that we fear. Will I have a job? Will I be able to do this or do that? And I don't know whether you've been watching or listening to your news lately, but one thing that has struck me is this. That our old folk today live in fear. Listening to the news the other morning, the old lady said, "Even though I have bars and bolts in my door, I sit in fear every night, worrying about these boys that are so brave that they beat up old folk." But fear is a terrible thing, and we all live with it today. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, is trying to say to each and every one of us this morning. What is your ghost? Is it old age? Is it your health? Is it the problems of your home and your family? Well, what Jesus is saying to us this morning is he's saying, he said to his disciples, "You need to trust me. You need to lean upon me." Yes, they were scared. They were afraid. And the boat was going in all directions. And they were really holding on for grim death because they believed that at any moment that vessel could go down. But Jesus was there at the moment that they needed him. God is never too early, but he's also never late. He always comes at the right time. But this morning we find out that these men were as safe as they ever could be. Those storm-tossed men in the boat were safe in the boat as if they were at home. It is unthinkable that they could have been drowned when they were so precious in the sight of God. Every one of us this morning that loves the Lord, we are precious to him. And it is possible that from the start of the storm until they lose sight of Christ, that we can be assured we can never lose sight of him. He had sent them from the hillside, and they had rushed to help them. It is wise to remember, although occasionally he permits our boat to be rocked, but he will never let it sink. Only when it's his time, only when God permits, that appointed time that he has made will come and we will reach the haven of rest. But what I believe the Lord Jesus Christ was also trying to teach his disciples was simply this. You see, as they were concerned with the elements that were around them, they had forgotten what had gone on previously. You see, as we read verse 51 and 52, this is what it says. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wonder. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. It's very easy for one to get their heart hardened. I was speaking to a young couple just earlier this week, and both of them professed Jesus Christ years ago. And some things have happened in their life which I can't explain to you or say to you this morning, but because of it, they have hardened against God. And they find it difficult, or I find it difficult, to get them to go to church or talk to them about Jesus Christ. And here were men who were taken up with the things that were around them, and they had suddenly forgot the great miracle that Jesus had performed, the feeding of the 5,000. And isn't it so easy for us today to forget about the good things that God has done for us in our past life? So often when trouble comes, we ask the question, why me, Lord? Why is this happening to me? And yet we forget what God has done for us and only consider what is happening at that particular moment. Yes, we could say that they were stupid, but aren't we guilty today of the same things? Aren't we so guilty that we forget about the good things that God has done for us and forget of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ? Reading one commentator this week said simply this, faith is better than fear. To have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, of the many promises that he has given. And if you have time today, we don't have it at the moment, but if you have time this evening, go home, or today, get down your Bible and read Matthew chapter 6, from verse 26 or 25 through to 34, of all the things that Jesus said in that passage of Scripture. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what you shall eat or what you should wear. Consider the birds. They're fed by God. Consider the lilies, how they toil and spin, not yet they are the most beautiful thing you could look at. And if God takes care of the birds and the lilies, would he not much more take care of you? And this morning he will say to us, those problems that you have, those difficulties that you face, learn the lesson that the disciples learned. That whatever your ghost may be, God is always there to help you in your time of trouble. Maybe it's your family. Maybe like myself, you shed tears for those you love. Let's keep on praying. Because God has said, if you ask anything in my name, that will my Father give to you. I trust this morning as you leave that God will bless you and help you in your daily life to face whatever the problems might be, and that you might realize that that little boat that you sail in, that little boat that you're heading home in, is under the control of God himself. I often think of the piece that the choir sings, no waters can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. I trust today that this simple word will be a blessing to you as you leave for home this morning.